This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Former Browns tight end, and we all know that's my favorite position on the Browns team, and spent some time with the Browns, a couple of years, most of his years with the Browns, but also was in Jacksonville for a little bit, Carolina, and the Arizona Cardinals. And right now joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline is Seth DeVolve. Hi Seth, how are you? How you doing?
How you doing, Seth?
I'm good. Andy, Dan, it's good to be with you guys.
It is good to be with you. All right, so first catch us up on life with you right now. Did you end up back in Connecticut? Where are you living these days?
No, it's a good question. My wife and I settled in northern New Jersey, right outside of New York City. My wife is from New Jersey, and, you know, I'm not too far from here in Connecticut, so we found a nice little spot for us to be kind of close to family and also carve out our own space.
Happy wife, happy life, my friend, correct?
That is right. That is very correct.
We've all learned something along the way. And again, we'll talk about the Crews here in a second, but when you reflect back on your days playing for the Browns, just what goes through your mind, especially the fans?
Oh, yeah. I mean, to be honest, we had some tough years when I was in Cleveland, but I fell in love with the city and the franchise because of all the awesome people that are part of the organization. And on account of the most passionate, committed fans in the NFL. To be honest, I'm not sure if there's a better football town in all of America than Cleveland, Ohio. The city itself made my time there definitely exciting and a memorable one for sure.
All right, so Seth, you've been out for a little bit, but still keeping an eye on everything going on, not only in Cleveland, but in the NFL. How much has the tight end position changed since you were in the league?
Man, I mean, it's changed quite a bit. I think changes started to take place a couple of years before I entered the NFL. We've seen it evolve over the past two decades from kind of a sixth offensive lineman into very much a hybrid blocking and catching role, and in some cases, fourth or fifth wide receiver role. You see a lot of guys in the NFL occupying that space as we speak. And on account of kind of that playmaking ability, you're starting to see tight ends garner a lot more of the salary cap and, you know, higher salaries. And it's just an exciting position. I mean, we've got National Tight End Day. We've got, you know, all sorts of big name celebrities in the position. It definitely served me well. I mean, because, you know, I played wide receiver in college, actually, and just gained a ton of weight while I was in college, continued to grow in height as well, and, you know, made a natural transition to tight end while I was in the NFL and got to occupy kind of that pass catching tight end space, which was really fun.
I got to think, I'm just trying to do the age here. Did Travis Kelce watch you? I'm sure he did when Travis Kelce was back here. I'm sure. So you're probably Travis's idol. I mean, you probably tell your family that, right? Travis grew up watching you. He's made the position 10 times more famous than it's been.
Yeah, no, that's right. I wish I could say that. But, he's up there for greatest of all time in terms of the position.
I mean, that's got to make you feel good for a guy that played that position, right? We sit here and, I've always loved tight end, and I've said this 1,000 times on the show, because it's the working man's position. You're expected to block and be as good as every offensive lineman there is, but you do have that tiny bit of freedom to kind of go downfield and catch a couple passes.
It is. You know the underrated thing about it, too, which – you know, it is the working man's position. We're also not the best on the field at anything, which is actually a hard pill to swallow at times. We're not the best blocker on the field. We're not the fastest on the field. We're probably not the best route runner on the field. But we're asked to do all of those things, a little bit like a decathlete in track and field. But it's a really unique position. You're right. I mean, strength and conditioning, athleticism, just being a dog goes a long way at that position. football is a highly skilled sport, and truly the greatest at that position are highly skilled and very athletic. But you can get away with just a lot of freak athleticism at that position.
And you say the decathlon because your brother was a really, really good decathlete, wasn't he?
That's Liberty. True. I come from a track family. You've done your research.
Thank you. Me and Wikipedia, we are so tight. It's unbelievable. No, and then but because Dan and I both love track, and he coaches it. My kids have participated in too. And I always wonder about that crossover between track and football. And you know, at some point they say, well, it's a great way to stay in shape for football, but I absolutely love track. I just think, you know why? Because the politics are virtually not there because you're as good as your number. Like, numbers don't lie in track. That's why I love track.
It's true. I feel the same way. And to be honest, we're especially in an age of early youth sports specialization. Like, there's nothing more I'd love to push back on than that idea, particularly when it comes to other activities like track and field. Like, for any young people out there who want to play some specific sport at a high level, be it in college or professionally, like, there's almost nothing better you can do during the springtime, unless you're trying to play baseball, than run track. Like, it is so great at, you know, increasing your speed, developing athleticism, developing endurance. I mean, I think my track background laid a significant foundation for, you know, the results I was able to have in a different sport.
It is weird. I mean, you were a high jumper and a shot putter then? Is that right?
I was, and a sprinter as well. I mean,
I was going to say, he's got to be a sprinter.
I'm envisioning you as a shot putter, obviously, because of the way you looked when you were here in Cleveland. But high jump, you can't be very big to be doing high jump. You got to be thin and lean.
We can't use his athleticism for only throwing.
Well, that's true, too. Yeah.
Well, you know, I kind of followed in my brother's footsteps a little bit. I did a little bit of everything. He was the track guy and, you know, went to college to do that. But, yeah, I mean, I dabbled in all of those events.
Former Browns tight end Seth DeValve joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. All right, have you done the Browns Cruise before? What can fans be excited for?
You know, this is going to be my first year. I know it's the second annual. I believe Seaside Events has partnered with the Browns to deliver this thing as an annual experience. But, yeah, I heard really great things last year. I think there was like 16 Browns alumni and legends present on the cruise last year. Close to 400 fans, and we have a really great, you know, experience vacation mapped out for this year's.
I kind of want to go back to your Bronze days here, too, and I'm sure everyone that goes on the cruise are going to be able to enjoy some of these stories. Are there guys on the team that you still talk to all the time, and, you know, and who were your good friends when you were here?
Yeah, there are. I mean, to be honest, some of the mainstays and like backbones of the current 2024 Cleveland Browns team were developing players, and in some cases already, you know, mature players while I was there, like Joel Bitonio, David Njoku, Miles Garrett, Nick Chubb, Denzel Ward, all these guys, you know, I was teammates with when I was in Cleveland. You know, the Browns have had a lot of draft picks over the years, and sometimes, you know, they catch heat for, you know, missing on one or two of these guys. But if you really take a look at it, these guys are really good players that have been a part of the organization for a long time. And they're good friends of mine. You know, I also was good friends with Duke Johnson, Jamie Collins, up to this, you know, to the present day. I keep in touch with Joe Schobert, Carl Nassib. I have a lot of friends from those days.
Hey, when you talk about Njoku, I mean, when he first walked in the door, he was, what, 19 years old? He was super young. And just kind of talk about his emergence as a dominant tight end in the game.
Yeah. 19 is crazy. I think he was probably at least 20, but
when he was drafted, he was only 19 when he was drafted. Like,
You're probably right. You would know better than me, but he was definitely young, he was definitely athletic, and he was definitely raw when he came into the building. You know, and we kind of say in the NFL that rookie year for a tight end is really difficult. There is a large playbook to be learned, and, you know, going back to some of the points we mentioned earlier about the tight end needing to do it all, it takes a while to learn all the protections, all the run schemes, all of the pass schemes. A lot of the other positions on the field, with the exception of the quarterback, are only learning a subset of that playbook, whereas, you know, the tight end is diving into the entire thing. So I think it's one reason why the first year is slow. And I think I experienced that. I think David experienced that too. But by year two, we knew that David was the man, you know, the first-round draft pick that we expected him to be. And I kid you not, I mean, David has just gotten better every season. I witnessed it, you know, in person for the first 3 years. After I moved on from the Browns, I continued to see him grow as a blocker, as a route runner, and just kind of become a professional. Like, when you're 19, 20 years old, you still have, like, healthy joints and, like, a youthful exuberance. Part of being a professional is understanding how to take care of your body, especially as you age into the game, and realizing, like, I'm employed to play football for, like, 8 months out of the year, and it's a brutal game. I've seen him become a professional just in the way that he manages his time, takes care of his body, is available for his teammates. He is a force to be reckoned with on the field. I'm happy to know him, happy to have, you know, played alongside him.
Seth DeValve joining us. Seth, when you watch the team this year, what is standing out to you as what may be causing some of the hiccups on offense?
Yeah, you know, I think it's obviously a disappointing year for fans and supporters of the organization. You know, I grew up in Connecticut where we rooted for the Patriots, and I'm sure, you know, there's ears bleeding in Cleveland with me saying that, but it's true. Like, since playing for the organization, I'm a Browns fan through and through. I cannot help but root for the Browns. And I think, you know, I can speak for all of us that we had a lot higher expectations going into the year. I also speak for a lot of folks that we have a lot of confidence in Kevin Stefanski, Andrew Berry, at least I do. I know those guys personally, and I know the professionalism and the brilliance that they bring to their professions. Mm. I think we probably expected to have a little bit higher quality play out of the quarterback position, which has been disappointing and is something that, you know, Browns are going to have to figure out. But I think early on, it was a bunch of pieces to the puzzle. We didn't have our right and left tackles or a whole offensive line contingency at one time, you know, which is puts a lot of pressure on a quarterback, you know, to make difficult throws, which cause receivers to make difficult catches. And it just hasn't been clicking this year. You know, football is a complex game. Unlike basketball, where a couple guys can kind of take over, you need all the pieces working. And for whatever reason, this year, it just hasn't really clicked yet.
All right, Seth, last question for you, just because I'm always fascinated by this. The guys that play in the Ivy League and then make it to the pros, how difficult is it compared to, like, being at a school where obviously football can be a dominant thing, where guys are getting a ton of NIL money, and when you go to a school like Princeton or any of the other Ivies, obviously education, like, trumps football, I would think. You tell me. I'm just curious.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, education takes the front seat when you play Ivy League sports. I think it was the right fit for me at the time. To be fair, too, at the time, it was probably the best school that recruited me football-wise. Hmm. So, like, I probably, as a 17-year-old kid, would have gone Power 5 if I could have. But I did a lot of maturing, a lot of growing, a lot of developing while I was in college. And, you know, to answer your previous question, like, the NFL is a different animal than college completely. You know, there are NFL level guys at all levels of college football. The difference between, you know, the SEC or Big Ten and Ivy League football is that, like, all of them are to a certain extent. Whereas in the Ivy League, you may have a handful on your team. And as we said earlier, like, a handful of guys aren't going to make you competitive at the highest level in football. So that being said, like, I would say the practice volume came down in the NFL a little bit, but the intensity was up. Like, you had to be sprinting full speed, blocking full strength every play in the NFL, because just, like, you're competing for jobs. You're competing so you don't get hurt. Like, it's just the cream of the crop. It's a completely different pace. It's a completely different mental game. And I think that's why you see these big jumps from these young players from year one to year two.
If you would, this to me is completely fascinating. If you could go back and do it again, would you have gone to the transfer portal and tried to go to a Power 5 school at Princeton? I mean, we're talking about Princeton. This isn't like, you know, going somewhere super small. And if you had the opportunity to go to another school outside of the Ivy League, would you have done that?
I appreciate the question. It's a good one. You know, there are guys that are doing that currently. Usually, though, what they're doing is they're getting a four-year degree from the Ivy League institution and then transferring and doing a fifth year at more of a Power Five school. So yeah. I do think it would be difficult to forego the degree because it's very difficult to get into one of those schools, and it's it would probably be foolish in many, many people's eyes to not see that through. Speaking for myself, in hindsight, I would do it the exact same way over again. You really like, you can get lost in the cracks in high school recruiting because there's just so many people and not enough eyes. Mm-hmm. But like, there's entire departments committed to scouting in the NFL, so the coaches don't have to do it year round. And like, if you're that guy, regardless of what school you play for, you're going to get your opportunity. So to me, like, you should go to the place that's the best fit for your academics, for your, you know, location, for your career. Play a sport you love and do the best you possibly can at it and let the chips fall where they may.
Seth, it was great talking to you. Really appreciate it. Again, you got a five-day Caribbean cruise coming up March 3rd through the 7th of next year. If you want more information, you can go to clevelandbrowns.com. It is right on there, Browns Fan Cruise. And I really enjoyed the conversation. Thank you so much, Seth.
Thanks, Seth.
Likewise, guys. Have a great afternoon.
All right, take care. Seth Duvall, former Browns tight end, joining us right here on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I like the whole college dynamic right now, just to me, it's just so not clear. It's foggy when you talk about a lot of the things that we like to talk about, right? Like transfer portal and NIL and... Now, if you're a high school athlete, like, what are you doing? Where are you going? There might be more opportunity for you to not go to a Power 5 and find your way into a Power 5. Let's talk a little bit about that when we come back. 216-474-0092. Baskin and Phelps. Dan Menigan is in today. Andrew Hody standing by with a 2020. And we just had Seth Duvall, former Browns tight end, who's going to be on that Browns cruise, was with us at 1 o'clock. I still want to talk about a couple things. I really want to get back into college football here. As we were talking to Seth Duvall about that decision. Like, if you were in that spot, you were at an Ivy League school, and then all of a sudden you're like, what do I do? Do I take the free ride at the Ivy League school, or do I go to a school where the education probably isn't anywhere near what it is at an Ivy League school because I got a chance to make some cash at a Power 5? So we'll talk about that. I do also want to... continue and kind of wrap up a little bit of a conversation we were having earlier today about who takes the fall for the Browns if things kind of stay the course and they only pick up a couple more wins. Is it Andrew Berry? Is it Kevin Stefanski? Is it both? Is it none? Is it Paul DePodesta? Is it Ken Dorsey? So a lot of things out there. I think as I look at that scenario, first of all, I hope they win a couple games so things don't have a drastic change. I think Kevin Stefanski is in the middle on everything, and Kevin just needs to maintain the locker room here for the rest of the year so that they can regroup and figure out what next season's going to look like. I just, you know, something that Andrew said yesterday, just about, you look at these, for whatever it's worth, right? These two-time Coach of the Year winners, look where they are. They're in Canton, right? I'm just saying, when it's all said and done and you end up looking back at their careers, there's got to be a reason why they've won these awards and what they've been able to do. And I know he gave up the play calling this year. And to me, that, you know, a lot of people would say, oh, that's how he gets on the hot seat. I don't know. I think a good leader isn't scared to let folks around him do their job. And maybe in the NFL it doesn't work that way, but I don't have a real problem with that. But I just, I think we find ourselves listening to the tone of Andrew Berry from yesterday. We find ourselves listening to the tone of Kevin Stefanski in these press conferences, which rarely changes. We don't hear from Paul DePodesta, right? We don't. And we do Ken Dorsey. And Ken's got a job to do, man. I mean, he's got to try to go out there and call the right plays and lead the team down the field and hope that a ball doesn't get tipped and hope that the offensive linemen make a block and hope that a running back can find a seam and hope that the wide receiver runs the right route. I mean, there's a lot of all of that there for all of those guys. I just felt going into the season that there's this year could have been something special.
The coach of the year argument is always an interesting one to me, and I can't say it enough. I think Kevin Stefanski's a really good coach, and I think he should remain the head coach of this team, and frankly, I would be fine if he took play calling back on top of it. But the two-time coach of the year argument is always funny to me because that is an argument that is narrative-based. And by that, I mean when you do coach of the year and when people vote on it, who typically wins coach of the year? It's the I was wrong about that team award or I conquered the most perceived narrative. That's usually where coach of the year comes. It's either the sports writers admitting that in the beginning of the year, I predicted this team was going to win 5 games and now they won 10. So it's got to be coaching because I was wrong. Like that's like I've always thought of coach of the year as being the I was wrong award or the I conquered the most award. So like Kevin Stefanski, the one that he had last year with Joe Flacco and what was it, 5 quarterbacks or whatever like that. If you count Jeff Driskel, 4 if you don't. And being able to conquer that, like, yeah, that's coach of the year. Great job, dude. The other ones are always like, they always make me laugh because it's like we goofed up. So here's an award that says, oops.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, man. Cool Ray, you're in Bedford. Hi, Cool Ray.
What's happening, Cool Ray?
Hey, what's up, fellas? So let me say this real quick. Thank you for finally saying that about Coach of the Year. But my thing is this with this team. What are we doing with my team?
What are we doing with your team, Corey? That's what I want to ask you.
So here it is. This who takes the blunt of the fall. It's going to have to be Stefanski, first of all. He's the coach. Second of all, it's got to be the GM. First of all, here's the thing I have a problem with. I heard that interview. He can nowhere near compare Stefanski to Hall of Fame coaches or Super Bowl winning coaches because Coach of the Year. Don't ever do that. That's why
you're saying he shouldn't have done that?
Shouldn't have never done that, ever. You could say Stefanski's a good coach. He won Coach of the Year. But don't compare him to Hall of Fame coaches or anything else. So here's my problem with this. Let's stop putting Band-Aids on what we know about to become a complete gush out. We have to start determining where we're going to go with this team. We're wasting Myles Garrett youth. If we can do a draft day trade for Myles Garrett, get some picks, even Denzel Ward, you have to really start looking at this because look at what we got right now. We don't have players. We don't have anything. The talent is down. The offensive line is shot. We have Denzel Ward getting concussion after concussion. We have to literally start thinking about a rebuild. And I do not want this organization or this regime, head coach or GM, picking talent. Some with this talent pool, whoever's in charge of talent evaluation or talent, that is the person who needs to be fired because we cannot be the only organization in history that's going to go 21 quarterbacks that we can't get right. That is impossible.
It's history. I mean,
So cool, right? Here's the needle that you got to thread through this, though, because the solution to chaos isn't more chaos. So you've got to figure out how to thread that needle that you're talking about of, okay, you've had 40-some-odd quarterbacks since 1999. Now, how do we evolve this to where you actually have a place that a quarterback can succeed and grow? And that solution isn't more chaos. That's the problem.
No, but here it is. At some point, you have to, and I know it's going to sound crazy, you have to go get young guys and bring them up together. But you also have to get a coach. and a coaching staff that's really good at maturing and developing these players. We can't have a quarterback, a coach that says he's only going to run his offense, so that we need to find a quarterback that can run his offense, because then that slows down the growth of any team. You need to have a quarterback and a coach that can relate to each other and work together. And I think this is what – because we can't – 21 quarterbacks, and we can't get it right. That is almost – that is so impossible to do. That's hard to do.
Yeah.
Even if you're playing John Madden, you're going to get it right. You're going to put talent around these guys. But we're wasting talent. We're in a unique position to where we don't want to rebuild, but we're in a position where we have to at this point. But it's not break it up at the season. This is where you have to have things already in place and ready to go so that jobs are now defined. We can't have a coach that want to call plays. We need to have a coach that knows how to coach. We need to have an offensive coordinator that can call plays.
Okay. Corey, I agree with some of the things you're saying. There are plenty of coaches out there that call their own plays.
Exactly.
I mean, that's not it. And going back to what Barry said yesterday, he said, I think there are 13 coaches in the history of the sport to win Coach of the Year, to win the Coach of the Year award multiple times. 10 of them went to a Super Bowl or an NFL championship. 6 of them won, and 7 are in the Hall of Fame, and he's the second fastest to do it. Kevin's an outstanding coach, and he's absolutely a part of the solution with everything. I don't think he was saying, look, Kevin Stefanski belongs in the Hall of Fame right now. What he is saying is, if you have patience and you're willing to, you know, battle through the storm when things aren't good, you have a great opportunity to have someone who has accomplished something in the sport. I don't think you're like, he should be fired for comparing him. No, he stated a fact.
This is the hardest part with all of this, Andy, is it's just everybody wants a pound of flesh. Everybody is Matthew McConaughey at the end of The Gentleman. If you have not seen The Gentleman, you should. It's a tremendous movie. But it at the end going, I want my pound of flesh. That's where everybody is they are banging the table yelling, I want my pound of flesh. I don't care where that pound is coming from. And the problem is the solution to chaos is not chaos. It will never be chaos. You need to hone in on something, and you had it, and you figured out some level of it. So is blowing this whole thing up the solution? No, it's just more chaos. So I don't know. I think somebody's going to get fired because that's how the NFL works. Is it the right idea? That's a different argument. Because I just believe that the solution to chaos isn't more chaos.
Let's continue on with this conversation. We'll do that. And I also want to talk a little bit about the college stuff that we were getting into. Baskin and Phelps with Dan Menigan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you news stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.